Blog Talk Radio.
Our topic this evening in our discussion is holidays from the perspective of African centered historical reality. So often we are compelled by the conditions and the environment we live in to look at things in a fantasy manner, a fantastic way, rather than from the viewpoint of reality. The object of the whole African centered movement in bringing forth active information, not only in terms of history, but every other field of discipline, is to be certain that we as a people are able to be confronted with and be made to deal with and to have the tools, the powerful weapons of reality. Whether that reality is present or unpleasant, we must be able to deal with reality in order to be rational and sane and to reach that place for which we are being called to go. And that's why we entitled this a topic tonight, Holidays from the Perspective of African-Centered Historical Reality. Why historical reality? I'm reminded of the words of Elhaj Ali El-Shabazz, peace be upon him, specially known to us as Brother Malcolm, when he said, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward all research. And so it is. When you get into the history of something, then you have a better understanding of what it is, what it was created for, what are its purposes and objectives. So that's why we're approaching it from the perspective of an African-centered historical reality. African-centered because has been, and we are still being subjected to a Eurocentric worldview, and there's still a great and wondrous struggle going on to break the bonds of that worldview. And so now we must view things from what we are, and we are an African people. I know I don't have to explain that to anybody in the internet. And that's how you see things, how you look at things, from your experience. We have several premises I would like to discuss with you before we get into the historical elements of the topic tonight. The first premise is holidays are the institutionalized celebrations of the thoughts and ideas of a particular philosophical worldview. What does that mean in essence? Not that you're going to need an explanation of it, but I always have to explain sometimes even what I say to myself. The institutionalization of our own thoughts and ideas and our own creation. Part of the process of doing that and having to keep those thoughts and ideas alive and nurturing us and motivating us in our everyday existence and our everyday struggle and fight for total mental, physical, and spiritual liberation from this beast here, from this hostile environment. As a part of that process, celebration plays a very definite role. Holidays are important to us. But in those holidays, if they do not reflect our life experience, if they do not reflect the positive aspects of our worldview, of how we see the world, of how we understand the things around us, then we have to ask the question, what good are those holidays to us? Should we be celebrating them or should we be celebrating something else? Let me stop here for a minute to discuss something that Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop set forth. And that is the idea, it has always been known to us who have been aware and thinking people and in the process of continued evolutionary path of enlightenment, that there was a quantitative and qualitative difference between the way that we as a people look at the world and the way Europeans look at the world. Brother Malcolm stated it so beautifully and straightforward that when you sit down to the table with the white man to discuss an issue, to discuss an idea, you're not speaking the same language. It was difficult for some of the Negro leaders of that day to understand what he was talking about, because they knew they were saying the same words. They were discussing the Constitution. They were discussing the Bill of Rights. They were discussing the Declaration of Independence and all those things. The white man was using the very same words that the black people were using. However, they were not speaking the same language, simply because they had a diametrically opposed worldview. He put it in these words. It's the difference between xenophobia and xenophilia. And that is, the European has a fear of anything different of other people and cultures that is different from him. And therefore, he must control them in some manner or eradicate them. Like the child who has never grown up, you stop running around here, fearing black men. A big, fat, Nubian-looking black man that can snatch telephone poles up out the ground talking about, I got to go to work for the man. You're not the man. You're the man. He never grew up. And why do I say that? How can I say that? I can say it because Jerusalem Slim, whom you call Jesus Christ, he's called Brother Jerusalem Slim in the seminary, said that it is by the fruit of a tree that you know what that tree is. What he produces is what you know what that tree is. And the very fact that when people do not do what he wants them to do, he acts like a little child, like the demon seed. Either you do it, or I'll hurt you. Or I'll take my marbles and get out of the game. Sounds like you can just take his marbles and go on by his tennis. But he's not satisfied with doing that. He got to come back and try to control the game again. He's perfectly all right with me because I know left on our own, we really, when we have nothing else to do, but on our own, we can do it. And we'll do it fast. We won't drag it out then. But this xenophobia, this fear, is the motivating factor, Dr. Francis Walton tells us in the book, The Isis Take the Keys to the Color, is the major motivating factor of white folks. Now, I'm going to come to the holidays, but I've got to lay this groundwork here. Hope y'all be patient with me.
And greetings. God, hope to everyone. Welcome to the session of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress T. And this is, of course, a special edition. I hope you all liked that. I certainly did. That was none other than the great Ashaka Musa Barashango. If you're not familiar with him, well, I hope you found him to be quite motivating, quite inspirational. That was him. I mean, what you heard is how he always was. And yes, he was an ordained minister, the Christian minister. See, I play these things because I want people to really kind of do a comparative analysis at some point to hear what it is you hear today and what some of our people actually did say and do during some other periods of time. And why do we not hear more of that now? Okay, well, kind of why, but again, our job is to make certain that you know the difference, that you are able to hear others who were quite prominent, actually. Ashaka Musa wrote several books. He definitely, you know, contributed to what's known as Black liberation, and of course his style or his type of delivery was one known in the field of theology known as Black Liberation Christian Ministry, sort of. I mean, it had some other names, but there were a few who they just had that kind of fire, that kind of spirit, and they were considered to be Black Liberation Ministers, or what's called Black Liberation Theology. Well, needless to say, Reverend Wright used to be one of Jeremiah Wright. He was also one Reverend Clegg, of course, but there were many during a time period, the 60s, of course, late 70s, up till late 70s. But again, you don't hear much of that kind of discourse anymore today. Well, at any rate, welcome to the segment of New Day Resurrection Liberation. As I indicated, it is a special edition. And, of course, today is the fifth day of Kwanzaa. And so we wanted to make sure that we were able to share with you on these days of Kwanzaa. We want to bring some other kinds of thoughts to your mind as well as to your spirit. And, of course, today's principle is Wiyah, the day of purpose. Well, this is always a very special day for me, particularly, I guess maybe it's been, good gracious, I guess it's been like 10 years now. We had a wonderful, wonderful elder here in Philadelphia, and he just happened to be my elder in particular. He was also the president general of the incredible UNIA ACL. And, of course, at that time, the national headquarters was here in Philadelphia. And President General Redmond Battle was his name. And let me tell you, that last name was, in fact, his given name. And you best believe he was all about the battle. As a Garveyite, you know, from being, you know, during the time period when the Garveyite movement was very, very influential. He was a member and remained to the day of his death, the day that he became Manchester. He was one who went to jail because he refused to go into the military. I mean, he was just an incredible, beautiful black man. And as an elder, certainly he was one that always, you know, just gave me in particular and others so much love. And you talk about knowledge and information. Oh my gosh. At any rate, Baba Battle made transition on this day of purpose when he became an ancestor. And so, again, this day for me is always a very special day because I'll always remember him. I'll always be appreciative of him. And, you know, every year we try to do something, light a candle or do something else in his remembrance and in tribute of him. That's what we do with our elders. That's what we do with our ancestors. Okay, so moving right along, we want to let you know also that tomorrow we will be doing another special edition that, of course, will be the day of Kaumba, but it will also be for us Amy Jock's Garden Day. Yep, Amy Jock's Garden Day. Because Amy Jock's Garden was born on December 31st, and she is, in fact, one of our sister saints. You know, we have 20, and we plan to have 25 in the next couple of years. But here's what we haven't been telling you. Now, you know, we've been working on special projects that deal with our sister saints. We're looking at having an artist to do either portraits or other kinds of things that honors them. We're off schedule with that a little bit because COVID definitely put some different kinds of scheduled timetables in place. But nevertheless, we're still working on that. We still plan to do that. We're working on our coloring book, and it is partially done. But again, COVID has kind of slowed up some, you know, some things. So hopefully we'll have it ready for you in March. For Women's History Month. Again, that's a coloring book that we're working on that will feature some of our 20 sister saints. And we're talking about, of course, Harriet Tubman, Araminta, of course, Queen Mother Moore, Ella Baker, Fannie Lou Hamer, Yasakawa. All of them are our sister saints. Catherine Dunham, Mother Clara Muhammad. Okay, so, you know, again, we're going to be producing now educational items and other things in recognition of our sister saints as well as some of the other things. Now, with that in mind, I want to remind everyone that tomorrow, the Day of Creativity, you will be able to get available the applications for the upcoming international concert. It's going to take place on February 21st, 2021, and it is our first international conference, I mean, a concert, as we move forward in establishing the We Charge Genocide 21 project, of course, here in the U.S., because that is the primary focus right now, the U.S. charging the United States government with genocide. Well, to get support on a national and international level, we will be holding our first international concert on February the 21st, 2021. It will be worldwide. It will be for 24 hours. It will consist of music, song street, drama, dance. Also, visual art will be shown as well. And there will be, you know, various kinds of presentations from people who will tape, and some will be live, their support for the We Charge Genocide 21 project, which is also what we call the National Black Human Rights Movement. And, of course, we are continuing the work of such giants, such greats as Mother Callie House, Queen Mother Moore, Paul Robeson, William Patterson, Dr. Robert, no, Youssef, Dr. Youssef Clay, Dr. Robert Brock, that's right. And certainly, certainly Malcolm X, El Hassan Lee, El Shabazz. Of course, we formulated a group specifically dealing with his work in those last 2 years, and of course we're talking about the issue and the work relevant to human rights violations, black human rights violations. And so the Malcolm X Legacy Collective is committed to doing that work. So again, we are now ready. We said 2020 would be the year, and so we are now moving forward. Before we go into what else we want to share with you for this evening, I want to also make the announcement that for sisters, we have a special project that now sisters can get ready for, and it is an actual stage production. Yep, a stage production that we hope will be able to go on tour in 2022. It is one of our first MWM Universal Movement productions, because now we will also have our speakers bill ready for 2021. We're looking at Black History Month and Women's History Month, but for the entire year, we will be able to, starting next week, I believe, provide you with a listing of who is a part of our teams, our educational, our arts and culture, kinds of, you name it, we have something for it. Either speakers or people who do the actual instruction or those that can help develop programs. Well, the MWM Speakers Bureau and our AFCOM, we have something called the Global AFCOM, Arts and Culture. Listen, you're going to really now see and hear more about what MWM has been working on over these years. It is now ready to go, and we are just so, so very pleased, so very honored to have weathered the storms. Oh, my goodness. I mean, you know, it's very clear that most groups, organizations don't really survive for 23 years without a grant and without corporate sponsoring, okay, without white folks, all of that. You just don't see it, not in this day and age, all right? Not kissing up and selling out and all of that. Without all of that, I mean, listen, where is it at for the most part? All right, a few here and there, but generally speaking, So we feel very, very honored to be able to come forward in a very, very self-determined manner in such a way that our position is clear. We do not have to waver in any kind of way in terms of our position. As it comes to, or when it comes to certain areas, certain matters, both politically and socially. And so, you know, hey, it's on as they say. All right, so family, again, if you want more information about being involved in the concert that's going to take place on February 21st, 2021, or if you're interested in, if you're interested in the sisters being a part of our production that we're working on or getting ready to work on that will pay tribute to what we call our sister saints. In fact, that is the title of the production, Sister Saints. All right. And again, it will feature songstry, drama, dance, spoken word, poetry, etc., to highlight some of the work, some of the contributions, some of the triumphs, etc., of Black women, period. But certainly we will be highlighting a few of our sister saints in particular. Okay, so if you want more information about any one of those things, please feel free to contact us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com, or you can email us at A Million Black Women Rising, which is, of course, AMBWR2020@gmail.com. Okay, again, nationalmwm@aol.com or AMBWR2020@gmail.com. And, of course, that is for the A Million Black Women Rising Celebration. Okay. Let's see. What else do we want to share with you? Again, we will do a special edition tomorrow at 10:30. We'll be bringing in what's known as Watch Night. Are you familiar with Watch Night? Well, we're going to talk about that tomorrow as well. That is a traditional observance that many of our people have engaged in over the years, and so we're going to kind of share that information with you. If you're not familiar with it, we want to make sure at least you know what it is, and also you know the historical significance of it. Again, Watch Night tomorrow, all right? And so we'll be on at 10:30, and of course the Watch Night piece kind of goes into place around 12 midnight, and you know, for those of you who celebrate or commemorate the new year, then you can bring it in with us. All right. Again, we'll be doing a special edition at 10:30, and that'll run straight through 12:30 a.m. Okay. And we're going to talk more about tomorrow's principle, which will also take us into the last principle of Imani. So, again, tomorrow is Kaumba, and we will do, again, a tribute to Amy Jack Scarvey for her Earth Day. And, of course, we will also talk about Watch Night, and we'll also bring in the so-called New Year together tomorrow night. So, with that said, pass the word. We certainly would love to have you connect with us for tomorrow. And also on Friday, we will be doing a special Zoom presentation on Friday, and that will be from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. It's our Imani Meeting Ma'at, or shall we say the principles of Kwanzaa connecting with the principles of Ma'at. And the whole idea and concept around that family is that we begin to do more than just observe and do the Saba for 7 days. We want to kind of really see how we can embrace the ideas, the practices, the applications of Nguza Saba on a day-to-day basis, or at least more often than what most are doing it. And so we've kind of combined, we have a strategy or a formula that we have combined, and it is the Nguza Saba and Ma'at principles. So there's 7 principles of Nguza Saba. There's at least 7 principles of Ma'at that you can pull from, and we want to connect them. So if you talk about unity, once we've been able to look at the idea of unity, but also now apply it to one of the principles of Ma'at. Be it truth, justice, reciprocity, honor, balance, righteousness, etc. How can we utilize the principles of the Nguza Saba and connect them to some principles of Ma'at? Hey, I think that's just a wonderful way to begin to formulate how to do these things or more on a regular basis? Well, we're going to see. Okay, so again, tomorrow we'll talk more of that for Kaumba, and definitely on Sunday you can join us for Zoom at 6 o'clock to 9. And if you want to get the link for that, you can just email us again at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, national, spell out, mwm@aol.com. You can also call area code 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. Or you can text me, and we'll also send you the link by way of texting or email. Okay? All right. Let's see. What else did we want to share with you? I hope you all really enjoyed Reverend Asheka Musa Barasango. I'm going to play a little more of him shortly because I really was feeling him. And the mere fact that he was talking about European holidays, which is why I thought it was so appropriate. You know, because again, I'm sure there are some who still commemorate European holidays, you know, and I just wanted to kind of, you know, give some other insight into why we maybe need to look a little closer at lessening some of that. And again, during this time of Kwanzaa, where this is an observance or a holiday, if you may, that was created by black men. Certainly, you know, we are, well, we were moving in the right direction. However, not much has happened since then. So, again, we're going to be introducing some things, which reminds me. So, sisters, we have the Cecil session coming up this week, and it is a part of what we call the Black Women's Political Convention. We've been doing various sessions online, given the fact that we could not meet the way we want it to, but these sessions will now serve as kind of the prelude for the Black Women's Political Convention that we'll have in a couple of years. But we will at least begin doing some of the organizing, some of the formal kinds of things, formulating of certain things, rather, that we really want to see. One of those things is, and we've been working on this for a couple of years, and we are ready now to start putting it out there in another way, and that is those who are actual members of MWM and any of its units, you will now have the first opportunity to vote. Now, we started this project several years ago, but now we said 2020 and we met it. Now we bring it forward. So very soon we're going to begin a national campaign that will begin to raise the question. Drum, please. And the question is, are we ready for there to be a holiday for a black woman? Well, we dare say it is. In fact, we're going to insist upon it. So, black women, get ready, because now we are getting ready to make certain that everyone will have to observe a holiday for a black woman. Now, we're going to do it anyway because we already do it with our 20 sister saints. However, we want to make sure that other people do too. Just like we're forced to observe, say that you're not, because anytime you're spending some dollars, you are observing some of their stuff because all the other people's faces is on their money, right? Therefore, whether we like it or not, we are in fact doing things to perpetuate their people. Well, we might as well create a scenario that kind of makes them do the same. And again, we're not asking for permission. We are strategically making certain that just as we are put in a position to have to celebrate and commemorate other people, we want them to do that too. Okay, so with that said, this weekend we'll be doing some special sessions with sisters right now, and we'll be talking about how to move forward with a national campaign that will, in fact, begin to organize for there to be lobbying and other kinds of things for there to be a holiday for a black woman. Why not? Well, it's on. Okay, we'll talk more about that on Saturday. And also, well, tomorrow we'll tell you the exact time and how you can connect with us for that dialogue. We're going to also talk more about the Million Woman Party, how we want sisters and brothers to begin to connect in such a way that we want to really look at running our own candidates. Now, again, we are not advocating, any like support to any great degree in terms of how the system operates. That's not it at all. It's about strategy. It's about being able, particularly in our communities, to have at least a better capability to, to have things move in the way that we want it, and to at least have access to the information, et cetera. So we have to make sure those kinds of things can happen. With that said, again, that will be one of the topics that we will be discussing in the next couple of days. The sisters only, the sisters only, because sisters, we got work to do. You know that song? Who wrote that song? Women's Work? Yep. Well, it's women's work. All right. And so we have to now organize in such a way that our voice is very clear. We don't need any of the women to try to speak for us or try to organize us or other, Negro women who think they're going to do it and then get us with these white women. No, that's not happening. So all that's over. It really wasn't happening anyway, but now, it's definitely not going to be happening without there being some pushback and some other kinds of things to make it clear that is not who we are, that's not who we're trying to be, and best believe we're taking our rightful places. Okay, so with that said, family, that's kind of what's coming up again on Friday. We will be doing a special Zoom, 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. It will be the day of Emmanuel, the day of faith. And we have a lot of good stuff in store for you for 3 hours. Also, those of you who are business people, if you either make your own product or you're selling quality products for our people, we invite you to join us for our first kind of virtual black market. It's going to happen on Friday. The latter part of the presentation will allow you, or the day rather, the Kwanzaa day of faith at Imani, the last hour of that presentation or that day will allow our black business people. Now, we really would prefer business people who, it's not just about making money, no. But also are trying to do some things or want to do some things in regards to our people, helping our people, okay? And so, again, we invite you, and it is free, to join us on January 1st. Talk about your business. It could be goods or services. Talk about, show whatever it is. If you make crowns, if you make jewelry, if you're a painter, doesn't matter. All right, you will have the opportunity to share your information with our extended family, listeners, watchers, and so forth. Again, that will be on Friday. People will also be able to purchase, by the way. Okay, so if you want more information about that, you should again email us at naturalmwm@aol.com or text us at 267-636-3802, and we will provide you with more information and then get you registered and locked in for the presentation. Okay, again, you will be able to, as long as you have Zoom, either on your phone or on your computer, you will be able to join in a way where you can share your information about your business, your goods, your services, things of that nature. Okay, this is our first one. We will be now doing it on a regular basis because we have several campaigns that deal with, as some say, economic development. We say finance and wealth building. Financial growth, development, and wealth building. Okay, and so we want to make sure that our people have a better capability to advance, when it comes to business, entrepreneurship, et cetera. We're also going to be very soon ready to deal with distribution in terms of manufacturing Okay, and so we want to be those that manufacture their own goods. We want to be able to work with them in terms of distribution. In the very near future, we will have a very, very sizable, shall we say, I won't say following. I don't like that word following. I know that that's the thing that they have for social media, but it has some other connotations that I try to avoid. But at any rate, we will have a large constituency. How about that? And with that, we will, you know, be able to market a large amount of goods and services by way of the networks that we have created. That also means those who are artists and you you know, have various works that you want to have marketed, we have a component for MWM called M4. And it's the letter M and the number 4. It's our M4 unit. And so the M4 unit is the group within the MWM Universal Movement. It focuses on media, music, and merchandising. Okay? That's M4. And so we'll be working in those four areas in particular in terms of every aspect of those four things. We will be doing, you know, various things. With that said, we also are now launching our speaker's bill. I think I mentioned that earlier. And so if you're interested in that, and again, that also means booking folks for you, those who are performers or those who are doing kinds of things that, you know, require certain types of presentations. We will be booking that. And again, if you want more information about that, you can, again, just email us at nationalmwm@aol.com, or you can text us at 267-636-3802. All right, let's recap for one moment. Let's see, anything I did not forget. I think I have everything that I was supposed to tell you about for right now. Again, tomorrow will be Amy Jacques Garvey Day, and so we will have another special edition at 10:30. And at 12 o'clock or a little before 12 o'clock, we will commemorate Watch Night. We're going to tell you more about it before 12 o'clock, but certainly at 12 o'clock, that is tradition. And we just want to honor our ancestors with that, because whether we believe in it or not, which, you know, obviously we don't believe in it, but certainly we need to know and understand that for our ancestors, Watch Night was something very important. Just like Juneteenth for some, it was very important. And we'll tell you more about it tomorrow as to why it was so important. And you know, there's some things that we can kind of get rid of for sure, but there's some things we need to at least know about it. And Watch Night is not something that a lot of people do know about, so we want to make sure we share that information. I'm hoping tomorrow we will also have Brother Bigger Dre joining us. He has a project that just got released today, or at least to the extent that he wanted it to be. And we're looking to partner with him with this. And again, this is what we're saying to people. If you have products, if you have other kinds of things that you're looking for partners with, distributors, well, come talk with us. Again, this is something we're going to be doing a lot of come 2021, because MWM must create a consistent kind of cash flow. We are going to be not only independent, but we want to be able to grow financially in every way possible to make certain that our projects, our programs, and so forth can be on point the way that it should be. And that reminds me, also next year, we will begin a whole series of different classes that you'll be able to take online. We just today met a beautiful, beautiful sister who is going to be joining us. She does yoga. And actually, she does yoga for sisters, too, that are expecting. oh my God. I mean, he does all these, you know, various things. And we have so many of our people that do so many wonderful things. Well, we're going to bring some of that together and be able to provide it for you so that now that people are very acclimated to using Zoom and other mediums online, well, we're going to take full positive advantage of that and actually literally begin to formulate something, which I can't tell you about this yet, but I can tell you this. There'll be an array of classes that you will be able to take, all types of classes. Of course, arts and culture, but also things that deal with, you know, day-to-day survival stuff. Also things that you need to know in terms of, you know, home repairs and, of course, health, food preparation, all these various things. You will soon be able to get a full curriculum of things that we will be offering you, MWM, in what we call the Global AFCOM Village. So, again, if you think you would be interested in instructing a class, again, let us know because we're formulating that now. And you can just, you know, contact us and we'll send you the information and you just fill it out, send it back to us. You let us know if you want to do free classes or if your classrooms have a fee attached on the form, you'll be able to fill all of that out, how much time you'll need. You know, you'll give an idea of what the class is, how many weeks do you expect to have it, you know, even something that would be for certification. Okay, so again, we are, as my sister Pam Africa would say, on the move. So MWM is fully established now in such a way that when we say that we are the first global movement for women and girls of African descent worldwide, we kind of mean it, for sure. But always remember the components that go along with MWM is, in fact, for the entire family as well as our community. That's why you hear me also say the Global AFCOM Village, because that encompasses our families and communities. So even though MWM priority and, of course, the commitment as it pertains to our women and girls, certainly simultaneously the Global AFCOM Village. That's for our brothers, our children, our elders, our communities, our institutions, you name it, we've got it, okay? All right, family, what we're going to do now, I want to go back for a moment to Aishaka Musa Barashango. I mean, he was getting ready to, he was just putting it down. I'd like to share just maybe about 5 more minutes or so of his presentation. And again, this is some of what we're going to be offering to folks, and that is, you know, various DVDs and other kinds of information that you know, that many of us have already kind of been able to learn from, and we want to make sure that others are still able to get that information. I just ran across, I was having a conversation with someone, and then I remembered hearing the great Dr. Delbert Blair years ago. Someone had texted me and was telling me about nanotechnology, right? And I was like, nanotechnology. Oh, yeah, Dr. Delbert Blair years ago taught us about this whole nano thing and that it was coming, what it was going to do, all of that. And this was like 10, 15 years ago, right? So it just reminded me how we've got to make sure that our people know of some of the great people who have really, really given us a lot of good information and insight long before what you're seeing right now. So, you know, we've been given some warnings, right? Anyway, I'm going to go back to Aishaka Musa Barashango. This lecture that he gave was, I'm not seeing the date, I have to find it in another way. But this, of course, is European Holidays and Mental Genocide. That was the name of this lecture. European Holidays and Mental Genocide. I mean, this is so appropriate, okay? Anyway, a little more from Aishaka Musa Barashango.
Because I have to constantly be defending myself with black folks because I have to come to historical reality.
Now, African people, in their natural state of being, and most people of color, tend to have a xenophilic approach to life. That is, a love of other people, an embracing of other cultures, a sharing of cultures. So you have these two different things. So now, when you celebrate European holidays, whose major motivation is the fear of his genetic annihilation, his phobia of other human beings, what type of celebrations do he have? Those celebrations that are built around that worldview, which is essentially xenophobic. When you celebrate that, you are celebrating something opposed to your nature, because you are by nature in your natural state. I'm saying natural state now. A lot of them got out of natural state. We don't read the Holy Ghost, as Jesus talked about. If you know what that means, those who understand, let them understand what it's been saying. And when you are in your natural state, your idea and purpose for a celebration is different. So I wanted to deal with that first premise. You still with me? You all right? The second premise, the celebration of holidays establishes and helps to maintain a strong emotional and cultural bond between you and that which you are celebrating. A strong emotional and cultural bond between you and that which you are celebrating. Anything that you jump up and down and sing about and dance about long enough becomes very much a part of your being, and you feel something for that because it brought you joy at the time that you were doing it. So you have an emotional and a cultural bond and connection with it. The question arises, when we celebrate European holidays, what are we binding ourselves to? Another question on that third premise, on that second. So the third and final premise here. Holidays are very common and natural to human beings, and you should have time to celebrate. I'm involved in the African liberation struggle until I am taken home to my ancestors. Unless I should lose my mind, and when I do that, somebody please put me out of my misery. Because if Ishaka Musa is no longer involved in the liberation movement, then you know he has gone plumb crazy. And he needs to be taken and worked with, and to bring all the African Senate behavioral science and try to heal me and lock me up till I get straightened out. As long as I'm in my right mind, I'm committed to the African liberation struggle. However, I do not view it as a struggle. It is the African liberation movement. Because many times when brothers and sisters get to talk about we involved in the struggle, they make it hard for themselves and anybody else who may be interested in it. It is a happy thing that we do, those who are participating in it. We chose that this is the road we would go rather than to be manipulated and controlled by something or someone else. Now that's a happy choice. That's a choice a lot of people don't even know they have. No matter the fact that you made that choice, you must be a happy warrior. It must be a joyful time. You fight better when you're happy. Even if you, when it comes to the point where you have to take an enemy's head off, do it with a smile. And by all means, when you talk to your brothers and sisters, always talk up. Always speak hope. Always speak joy. Always speak the fulfillment of the promise that has been given to our mothers and our fathers ever since the day that we brought off the slave ships here. They knew from generation to generation that this day would come. We're talking them down. However, in my household, the children, what happened, they have to respond on demand. Say, what's happening? That's hope on the rise. Don't tell me I don't know. Some stuff like that. And when they forget, I keep asking questions till I get the answer. They get tired of it, but this is a part of the right programming process, conditioning process. So it's natural for us to be happy and to celebrate. We started out by celebrating the harvest on our own land. We created the science of agriculture, the success of the hunt, the rituals and celebrations of the rites of passage. All these things are good reasons for celebration. For us, we have a lot to celebrate, and that we were able to survive this feast all this time and this hostile environment and still come out with some degree of sanity. I say some degree because as Dr. Ben says, we are all crazy. Having been the history of the world have I ever heard of a people celebrating the victory of their enemies over them. Do you get my point here? They may remember that, but they will not celebrate it. The only people I know now presently in the world is the Negro and other people who are mentally subjugated by white supremacist culture around the world that celebrate their enemy defeat of them. When we study European holidays, we have to ask, whose victory are we celebrating? All right, I hope y'all don't get angry with me.
All right. Again, that is Dr. Ashaka Musabashango. And by the way, family, he wrote several books. One of them was European Holidays, Part 1 and Part 2, and he breaks them down in terms of, you know, the origin of some of them and all, you know, I mean, it goes real, real deep. Again, we're going to be sharing more about some of our great historians and scholars, some of their work, some of their kinds of accomplishments. For those who do not know, you need to know. And for those that do know, we need to talk more about that so that we can make sure that we continue their work and their legacies. One of the questions that we wanted to ask for tonight, by the way, and in listening to Dr. Ashaka Musabashango, he kind of reminded me that this was one of the questions for tonight, and it is, what is your purpose? Meaning, how are we going to fulfill our purposes, both individual as an individual and, of course, collectively? Now, I know for some that word individual kind of, you know, rubs you wrong, because we know that Europeans have, in fact, just taken that whole idea into just a totally different direction with how they deal with stuff. But you have to look at the person, the individual, meaning in any realistic context, not the way they're talking about it, but you, we, I, have, each person has a specific role, a specific destiny. So with that said, how do we proceed with that? How do we accomplish that? Again, your specific goals and objectives that you are here for. And then, of course, as a collective, what we are supposed to be doing. What are these purposes? Do we know what that is individually and collectively? And in that, how are we going to reach it? Where's the plan of action for that? Because I'm not hearing it. And it's time that we begin to ask that question, because time is definitely at hand. Just take a good look. Speaking of that, have you all been paying attention to what's been going on with this vaccine stuff? Oh, my gosh. Of course, today it was published that one nurse took the vaccine like a week or so ago, and don't she now have COVID? Even though when she got the vaccine, she wasn't tested positive, but don't she have it now, according to the report? So I'm like, wait a minute. I thought the vaccine was supposed to prevent you from getting it? Obviously not, because she supposedly, according to the report, has it. They're taking it's been about a week, I guess, taking the inoculation. Wow. Things that make you want to go, and also, no. Anyway, I mean, it's so much going on right now. But what we do know is we're very focused and are getting very ready. But the question is, and this is what was posted tonight, will we be ready for what they get ready to do for 2021 and beyond? Are we as Black folks, our communities, our families ready? Well, if we not, I dare say we will get ready. I strongly suggest that and strongly believe it as well. Okay. At any rate, family, that's some of what we're going to be talking about tomorrow, some more, as well as Friday. We're going to be talking about some of the plans that are in effect, some of the activities, some of the initiatives that are, in fact, in our midst. okay, MWM being one, and there are a few other groups and organizations as well. I'm really pleased with what I'm hearing from the Republic of New Africa now. They just had elections and had two sisters now at the helm. So I'm really looking forward to hearing more about them and their work and the projections. Oh, and that reminds me, also, let's see, Minister Ashe, Minister Kajinga Ashe, he was in our program on Saturday and talked about the Emancipation Committee. We were planning to work with his group on that. With that said, political prisoners and the prison industrialized complex, two things is happening. Come tomorrow and Friday, we will literally give you and post information about political prisoners. You're going to go into the chat on Friday and get addresses, names, things of that nature. In the event that you haven't been able to go to the Jericho, you'll be seeing some of that in the chat or either post it by way of PowerPoint or what have you. We're asking people, please do something in support of getting our political prisoners out. And also, I want to remind sisters that we have launched now the Million Women Ministries. We hope that you will establish a group in your city. One of the missions is to begin to go into the women's prisons. We can hold sessions in the prisons, just like other ministries do. Okay, we'll have to go through the proper channels to do that, and we're prepared to do that. But again, Black women, we've got to step it up. We've got to step it up. Okay, so with that said, again, the Million Woman Ministries is now in effect. We are looking at going into the women's prisons for 2021 to hold various healing sessions, other kinds of history classes, various things that our women are in desperate need of. With that also said, tomorrow and Friday, we'll give you information about Reverend Joy Powell and Sister Tonya Victor. Okay, we're going to send them some cards. I'm waiting for the Victor's son to let me know what it is that his mother is in need of right now. Personal items. Hopefully we'll have that tomorrow. That information, send me the mailing address, but we're just waiting now to hear what specific things she might be in need of that Black women can send to her. Okay? And we'll be doing some similar things with other sisters, but these are the two that we're going to start with. Black women, we've got to do more. I know we're always doing a lot of stuff. There's no doubt about it. We're going to make it as easy as possible. We're not going to overburden anybody with a whole bunch of stuff. We're going to simplify this. So, again, when you hear us put out a call for $2 Tuesday, or now we have what? Wealth Building Wednesday. Yep, forgot to mention that for y'all. We now have Wealth Building Wednesday. And, again, this is holistic health. Holistic wealth, rather, building. That means that some of these funds that we're raising will go specifically to some of our programs and projects. Again, we are not looking for grants and corporate sponsoring and all of that stuff. We need to be able to help ourselves. So, again, when you hear certain kinds of things coming your way from MWM, you will know that it is definitely about self-determination. Some talk about Kwidzi Chandalia during Kwanzaa time. We talk about Kwidzi Chandalia every damn day. So we are very, very serious and adamant about being self-sufficient and other things relevant to that. The other thing I want to mention before we close out is when we do the sessions with sisters coming this weekend, and again, sisters, if you want more information about that, you should contact me. nationalmwm@aol.com. We're going to be talking about pre-plebiscite sessions. Now, we'll be actually introducing it to our communities for our next session for reparatory justice. That's January. Ooh, I don't have the dates in front of me. I think it's the 24th to the 26th. I have to check and see. But I think it's around that time. Oh, wait a minute. Nope. That's the wrong calendar. That's December's calendar. We got to go to January calendar. Hold on 1 minute. Nope, looks like Reparatory Justice looks like around the 21st. Yep, looks like around the 21st. Okay? The 21st to the 24th, something like that. And again, we will be introducing to the masses what we call pre-plebiscite sessions. And then you'll know more about how we're proceeding with the Return Genocide 21 project, because it is our plan to hold a national plebiscite in 2023. Right? But this is all about preparation now. Okay, so again, sisters, we'll be talking this weekend, just the sisters, and then later on in the month, we'll be bringing in, you know, our entire family, our entire community. And we will begin to proceed with further with the Recharge Genocide 21, as well as the Black Human Rights Movement. Okay. Lastly, before we close out, I want to remind everyone again, if you have a product, be it the product, we prefer products that you make yourself. Okay. That's really one of our major focus areas. Folks that are producing their own whatever. Hair, skin, oil, body, a food item, whatever, okay, health, whatever. Nothing perishable right now, though. But again, you know, we really, really are looking for folks that are producing their own items. This also means music, art, accessories, clothing, you name it. We're looking for folks that have their own. Now, if they don't, that's okay. That's okay, as long as it's Black, all right? Long as it's projecting and for Black folks, et cetera, it's all good. So, again, we have the Black Market, the debut coming on Friday, the last hour of our Kwanzaa program on Friday, January the 1st, the last day of Kwanzaa, Imani. We will have a Zoom 3-hour presentation. The last hour of that presentation will focus primarily on Black businesses, services, goods. You will have the opportunity of a few minutes to talk about it, to show it, and, of course, let people know how they can, you know, stay connected to you, et cetera. This is one of the first phases of our In the Black, BBBCO, and other business kinds of entities that are connected to MWM, okay? So we'll be sending something out later on. Please share it with others. It will have the Zoom link. It will also have more information about what the program is going to look like. But certainly let Black merchants, manufacturers, business persons, artists, let them know. We'll be doing regular Black Market sessions virtually, okay, to get, you know, make sure that we can stay connected in terms of this economy, in terms of making sure that we are supporting one another to the best of our ability. No one should have to go to any of the other stores to get soap, toothpaste, other kinds of things that we know we have amongst ourselves, right? At least we can do that. And so we're going to put forth a greater effort now to make sure that we do. All right, family, we are going to get ready to close this session out. And I think because Reverend Dr. Asaka Musa is just bringing it, I'm going to let him close us out tonight. Before we do, I'm going to ask if anyone has any questions or comments or thoughts that you'd like to share with us on this day of Nia of Purpose. If you do, you can press one now. And we would love to hear from you. Well, if you have something to share with us, press one now. And if not, we are going to let Reverend Dr. Asaka Musa close us out, talking about European holidays and mental genocide. Oh, my gosh. Woo, powerful. All right, doesn't seem like anyone has anything they want to share with us, which is okay. So let's do this. Let's go back to Asaka Musa Barasengo and family. We will return tomorrow night, 10:30, again for a special edition Booker Oba, and also Amy Jacks Garvey Day. We call her Saint, by the way, and we will be talking more about her, her work, and how we must continue it. However, moving right along, we're going to go back to Aisha Kamisa, Barry Sangal, and hold on one moment. Yep, there it is. And again, European holidays and mental genocide.
I mean to be a killjoy, but I just have to deal with history, the story, our story, as it is. Now, I'm going to attempt to, and you have to let me know when my time is coming up, because I just got finished. I ain't got time to watch. I have to move with the spirit. And in the spirit world, we don't know about no time. But I know y'all got things doing it, because you have to let me know when I get there, all right? I'm just going on now. We're going to try to deal with five European holidays, a historical perspective on them. And that is, who discovered Columbus? Because he sure didn't discover me. Second one is Halloween. And I forgot what sister on the radio program, Dr. Feller, with us that day at WLIB, that came up with that. It's the Night of the Living Dead. Misgiving, a celebration of horror. Excellent, the married man. And even if I don't get to some of the others, I'm going to talk about America's Independence Day, the 4th of July. I'm going to get that one wrong. Y'all pray for me now. Y'all send out good vibrations, right? In order to deal with this, who discovered Columbus, and I'm starting out with the Columbus Day thing because that's how they began the whole holiday. That opens the whole thing up. And the reason why I'm putting a lot of emphasis on that this evening is because all this year, here in 1992, they're going to be talking about the quincentennial of the coming of Columbus. And they will be bombarding our children's minds with this, intimidating them with this. And their peers will be looking at them and saying, why are you not in? We have to give them a strong, sound, historical basis and logical basis upon which to say, I just ain't with that. That ain't down. That ain't happening for me. I dish that. This is the reason why I recommend that. I didn't come here to tell you what to do and make the choices for you, only to show you the other side of the coin. Some of you have already seen that side of the coin, but it ain't going to hurt us to look at it again. At that time period, talking about 1492, now we must assess here briefly what was going on in the world then. Contrary to what we have been miseducated to believe, the world was not waiting for white folks to come and bring them Christianity, civilization, or any other thing. They didn't need them. They didn't invite them, and they weren't looking for them. They did not need them for anything whatsoever. If you study what was going on in the Olmec and the Mayan and the Aztec civilizations here and what was going on in China, India, and everywhere else around the world and on the mother continent, nobody needed what white folks had to offer. I want to get that clear. So there was nothing they could bring us but misery, as history has shown. Why do I say that? First of all, I have to go back about 700 years or so before 1492, if y'all don't mind. Talk about one of the great periods of the many wonderful periods of our history on this planet. And that's when the Moors, left from the motherland, went over and on the island which later became known as Gibraltar under Gibar Tariq. And from their base of operations and their fort there on the rock of Hercules, between the pillars of Hercules, as they call it, they moved now into Spain. They were 80% indigenous, just that God knows, thick-lipped, kinky-haired Africans. That is what the documents of history say. That's what I say. This is empirical evidence we're talking about here. 20% so-called Semitic Arabs who joined in. The Semitic Arabs or Muslims had nothing to bring to the Muslims on the motherland. When they left out of Arabia and were traveling around for their conquest, they left with a little more knowledge than how to raise camels and how to have herd sheep. It was only after they went in and conquered Egypt that they now come out with this new life and knowledge. This resurrection of the old classics and the zero and all that. And with the indigenous Africans still living in what came to be misnomered as Egypt, in Kemet there, which introduced them and taught them just like they had taught the Greeks, the Romans, and everyone else who had conquered them. For as Asa here you tells us, they conquered us militarily, but we always conquered them culturally and scientifically, for we had the knowledge to do that. Well, even in slavery, they had to depend on the black slaves to teach them how to do things. So even though we were their slaves, we still had to conquer them morally and intellectually. I want you to think about that. They didn't have to teach us how to read and write. We already knew how to do that. It was only the next generations where they had taken that from. But we had to come back and learn that again. Most of them who brought us here couldn't read and write. Now, at the time that these Africans went into Spain, not five kings or queens throughout all of Europe in any of their nations could read or write. Not five were literate. And couldn't anybody read the Bible but a few of the priests who could read, and it was chained to the wall so that only they could read it. The common people did not have it. I'm trying to get to these good God-sent people with these halos on their heads that came over here, killed up the indigenous red man and captured us and brought up the light of God and Christianity and Jesus. Most of them didn't know it, so how did they teach us anything about it? Now, when the Moors came in, they fought with them the light of knowledge and established the first universities there. They also taught geography from gold. That's a matter of record. They taught from gold. And even after they taught in Spain for some 800 years, the Spanish still believed that the world was flat. Hard people to see. And if you haven't learned that by now, as the song says, you don't know about that, you never know it. Why am I going through all this? Because the Africans had been sailing ships up and down the Nile, up and down the Niger, up and down the Senegal River for thousands of years. Navigation and science is a way of life to him. That kind of knowledge did not exist in Europe before the Africans, before the Moors went and took it to Europe. I'm sorry we did it, but it happened. In 1310, Mansa Muhammad Abu Bakr II looked out over the Ethiopian Sea. It wasn't called the Atlantic Ocean. It was the Ethiopian Sea. How do I know that? Because I looked at the maps of the 15th and the 16th century. And others have looked at it. He looked out over the sea. He said, if we can navigate the Niger, he was the emperor of the Mali Empire at that time. He said, if we can navigate the Sahara Desert, we can deal with that Ethiopian sea out there. So he went to work building. He went to work building with a knowledge which has been preserved by the University of Sankore at Timbuktu and other university systems right there in the motherland. And he set out 200 ships, 100 was crews of Africans, and 100 was supplies to carry for 2 years if necessary. Now, I mean, if you think you can go on the ocean for 2 years, you bad stuff. You know something. Because the man loves his people, he was responsible for the people, he was the leadership, he wouldn't send them out somewhere, not knowing where he was sending them. And he told them, say, don't stop till you come to land. I know there's land over there, because our people have been traveling over there since the days of Pharaohs, and possibly before. Sometime passed by, and only one ship came back. And the ship captain that came back, according to the report given by Abu Bakr's successor, says that his report went thus: Sire, we traveled and we followed the wind gust that would take us straight across the Ethiopian Sea, but we reached a place where there was a great churning river and an awesome mist, and all the other ships went into that mist, and I never saw them again. We somehow got spent out of it, and we're headed back in this direction, so we came home. So what did Abu Bakr do? In 1311, what year did I say? 1310, now we have 1311. How far is that from 1492? 1311 now, this black man says, took me up on rented ships, 200 to cab people and 200 to cab supplies. And I'll see you later. He gave me five and got in the wind. After conferring the emperorship on Mansa Kong Kong Ganga Musa, he was never heard from on the continent again. But the records of the Aztecs, the Olmecs, and some of the other people there recorded that a strange group appeared on their land. Hundreds upon hundreds of black men with gold spears and golden shields, and one tall, jet black man with gold in his braids, in his hair, golden slippers, stood under a golden pavilion. And the indigenous bowed down and said, Hail, all God, the coral has returned. That was 1311. Now, before I get back up to 1492, y'all all right? Okay, I don't want to bore you with all of that.